Tom's on the phone.
Oh, okay, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Have we lost?
Go ahead.
I'm in touch with the chat portal.
Hello.
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 Hey, yeah, what is more fundamental, information or reality?
See, he's the McLuhanist. This is a good caller.
I know. I always
well, they're interpenetrating now, Tom.
In the beginning was the bit, right?
What?
In the beginning was the bit.
No, that's
I represent the high order bit. You represent the no order bit.
G-A-L-L.
I am the signal. Bob is the noise.
On the bit. On the bit. All for a bit is the line in Finnegan's Wake.
I don't hear Greg at all.
Deal's work.
He's out in la-la land.
Tom, the bit is the Android meme. You're correct. And it is dimensionless.
Uh-oh, you're going to get Daniel hot there.
Yeah, he's a LaRouche. According to my chart, as a Hexed manager, they favor the LaRouches.
Yeah, well, the troop is always out there, which is why when you're bad word sober, you should get drunk. And when you're drunk, you should get bad word sober. Don't you think?
Yeah, always do the opposite. Plan very carefully, then do the opposite. That's what they
isn't
do
that
on
good
this
that, isn't that good that Tom is filling in for the sound clips of people saying bad word? he's filling in for those clips that aren't there.
Do you know this, Don? You ever met Tom?
I have met Tom on a few occasions. In fact, when we were in exile, and Daniel and I, and we were tossed out of the station for doing a good show.
Yes.
And because we're good people, fundamentally,
yep.
Although, you know, sometimes we behave badly, especially me. Tom actually came down and made an appearance while we were on the picket line, when we were out protesting, when Daniel and I were out across from the station.
That's the first time you met him.
I couldn't believe how seriously they took it all. I thought, you know, blew my mind, so I thought I better do something.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah, well.
We bring people
back. When are you coming back, Greg?
Tom, you know, we were standing around, and Tom came back. I can't remember whether I'd ever met Tom before. I've met Tom on maybe, I don't know, four or five occasions, I guess. And sometimes it's just totally surprising that he's there. You know, you don't expect he'll show up, and there he is, much like the show. But always appreciate seeing him, and he's one of those people who acts, who does things. I'm really pleased to have so many of our listeners, and it's okay if you don't do anything, but let it be known that some of the listeners actually take action about the program when the program is under attack.
They get on the board.
Yeah, they come and they
get on the board.
They do sometimes, yeah. They take that big step, and they'll come down and see us. I remember Tom DeCastro, another Tom. There are a lot of Toms. Last week there was Tom Power, who is a very powerful figure, actually. And he was my radio guest and co-host last week about the Cuban show. And Tom Power has come down and made himself seen. And Tom, another Thomas.
Tom DeCastro.
Three Toms.
Tom
three
DeCastro.
Toms. We're going to make a movie soon.
Yeah, and then we got Tom Touche. And yes, the movie. Very important topic. Probably can't be discussed, right?
No, we can't discuss the movie. The movie.
This is the Tom Touche. Dave, too, is doing a Tom Touche. It's the Tom tradition.
We have Daves. We have a lot of Daves.
So we got Tom 1, Tom 2. So this guy would be Tom 1? Who'd be Tom 1? Who's the original Tom? Tom DeCastro or our present caller?
No, I'd say Tom. I'd say this is Tom 1.
Okay. DeCastro, you're Tom 2 from now on.
Tom 2, and then Tom Power is who was my guest last week, is Tom 3. There's no seniority, though. We don't say if you've been with the show longer, you're better or that you have more rights or anything like that. We would never be so crass as to do that. Everybody is equal here.
That's right. You know, one thing about this show, it's changed my laugh. I've got this high-pitched hyena effect coming through, which I've never had before. I'm very happy with my laugh when I hear on the tape. Something's done this to me, you guys.
Is Tom still there? Tom is gone.
That's what I don't think he understands he should stay on. I mean, he raises important bottom-up questions. Is this information or is this reality? Good question.
I think he likes just. I think he likes to come in, say what he has to say, and leave, which is, you know, which is fine. I'm not going to criticize that. But getting back
I think he's an agent for the top down. He likes to make fun of the bottom up.
Yeah,
but he's learned it. He's learned the bottom up.
So President Kim again has made appearances this year, more public appearances than in 2007.
Hey, wait, I'm getting pretty interesting typings. Tom has gone, and it says swear word caller has joined. So the guy that the guy we don't like that was called, he's on the chat line with me. What do you want to say to him, Greg?
Nothing.
Okay, nothing from Greg.
But it's
nothing
nice that
you.
He's there with you. I mean, I do appreciate all of our callers and all of our people that listen, no matter what their views are. They all bring something to the show. So, and we can get irritated with one another, but that's fine. That's the way things go. We can be that way. North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, I can get to this now. We were interrupted earlier talking about the great...
He just interrupted you again by getting you on the chat portal.
He
this guy's down. This is working for the Zionists. He's pretty good.
South Korea's unification ministry said Wednesday, this is a few weeks ago, I guess, there had been 93 reports this year of inspection tours or other visits compared with 87 last year. So he's stepping up his activity in the small Juche socialist nation. And I salute President Kim. I think he's a wonderful man. We're not all perfect, but I do like him. He evidently, now they say definitively in this Agence France-Presse report out of Seoul, they definitively say that Kim suffered a stroke in mid-August. South Korean and U.S. officials have said, of course, they're weak and confused and twisted. Seoul officials said he made a good recovery and was still in control of his nuclear-armed nation. Doesn't that sound good? The North media have reported Kim's trips to a variety of destinations in recent weeks, and I read from this report from France through Seoul. he went to a bunch of destinations in recent weeks and published photographs in an apparent attempt to show that the 66-year-old is alive, active, and in charge. That's what I like to hear. The Korean Central News Agency on Tuesday heaped praise on Kim's workload. I'm quoting the Korean Central News Agency, the same Central News Agency that I believe called John Bolton, U.S. He was an envoy to North Korea as human scum. And I can tell you there is such a thing as human scum. I've met them. Quote, since he guided on the spot the workers in their work for reconstructing the Ryongang power station on a cold and windy day in the beginning of the year, he has covered without rest the road of field guidance. He has continued on-the-spot guidance without interruption, defying the intense cold of the midwinter and the blazing sunlight and rainy days of midsummer. That's unquote from the great Korean Central News Agency. Kim's health is the subject of intense interest since he has not publicly nominated a successor and has a history of diabetes and heart disease. I'm very upset about that, but coming this week, just a couple of days ago, this information, maybe yesterday, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, referred to insolently as North Korea by the U.S. and their lackeys, I won't refer to it as North Korea unless I'm quoting things that they say, will hold elections this March. So they're going to have some elections, prior scheduled elections. I find that a bit disturbing, too. But anyway, let's carry on. I'll make out that I'm excited by it in Western form. Prior scheduled elections were skipped in August 2008, leading to this speculation about the health of President Kim Jong-il. I don't think he was really sick at all. But I think he can get through blazing summer days and very, very cold and windy weather while he's on his field guidance tours, I think he can get through diabetes and
elections
and heart disease easily.
And elections.
That's easy.
He can get through elections.
Oh, absolutely. President Kim has been seen recently visiting a library, and he's donned in a parka. I'm just giving you this for some...
Oh, he's a POB going to a library.
Yeah, donned in a parka with matching track gloves, donned in a fur hat because it's cold, and his trademark signature sunglasses. So that's there's more news out of surrounding the DPRK. Chris Hill. You might know him as the kind of milquetoast envoy that's been dealing in these farcical six-party talks, because the Americans refuse to actually speak one-on-one with the representatives, the true representatives of Korea. They refuse to speak with them directly, so they sort of set up other partners in the region. And Chris Hill was the replacement for the human scum John Bolton a few years ago, and he was the Bush administration U.S. negotiator in these six-party talks, or as I prefer to call them, let's just waste time and admonish, insult, and then promise the DPRK concessions that the U.S. will never, ever honor. That's really what they're called, but they call them the six-party talks. Hill appears to have turned down the Obama government's offer of special envoy to North Korea. I'd take that post in a second. Special envoy to North Korea? Any minute. You want to, anybody out there who has authority, and I know you're listening, I'll take a Canadian special envoy to North Korea anytime. Love to go. And he was offered that by the Obama government in his upcoming administration, if he actually gets there. Hill, as I said, Hill took over from John Bolton, the human scum. He was human scum because of his insulting, disrespectful, and generally horrendous, ill-mannered method of diplomacy, which he still carries on to this day. But Chris Hill, evidently the man who was handling this for the United States, for Bush, evidently feels that the Obama offer is a demotion from his previous post, and this is what he was before. He was the Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs and Chief Nuclear Envoy. That's what it was. I guess he's concerned that just being Special Envoy to North Korea, it isn't enough words. It's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Where's the other one? I don't know, I've lost track. Probably 22 words.
But he had to be Nuclear Envoy.
Yeah, Nuclear Envoy. And or as Bush said, Nuclear.
Nuclear.
So who will replace this Chris Hill? Who's going to deal with North Korea? Well, it's a bit predictable, I'm afraid. Who's
Betty Valley. It's going to be Betty Valley.
No, close. It's going to replace, who's going to replace that milquetoast Chris Hill in meeting with these darn independent, freedom-loving Koreans from the north of the so-called demilitarized zone? Who's going to do that? It's going to be none other than Madeleine Albright's
Betty Valley.
Yep. Madeleine Albright's most special friend, always with her, traveling companion.
And she's the one who's working with Hillary Clinton and blocking the $14 trillion the Queen sent over, according to Chris Story at worldreports.org. She's a major criminal.
Do you know, yes, and her name is Wendy R. Sherman. Not to be confused with Detroit's own Wendy O. Williams. Not to be confused.
The plasmatics.
Yes, the plasmatics. It's Wendy R. Sherman.
Who's that? Who's Wendy R. Sherman?
That's the woman who's Madeleine Albright's traveling companion and brooch admirer.
Why did you bring her up?
She's going to in line to replace Chris Hill.
Oh, Albright isn't. I see. She's working.
You see, because when Madeleine Albright went over and was treated remarkably well by President Kim, he even put on those mask games.
You did a show on that. I heard the quotes. Yeah.
And then she came back and disrespected President Kim in horrible ways.
Yeah.
You know, she said, "Oh, he isn't so mad as you might think he is." That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, her traveling companion Wendy R. Sherman appears to be the new Obama designate to replace Chris Hill in dealing with those pesky people from the DPRK who love freedom so much and love independence. And she was with Clinton. She was the former State Department counselor, and under Bill Clinton's presidency, she dealt with North Korea policy. She was the North Korea policy coordinator, special advisor to the president, and Secretary of State. So she for Madeleine Albright, she was working out how they could get a lot of brooches made. Special brooches made in North Korea, because you know how Madeleine Albright loves to wear brooches. And going back in Wendy's resume, which which I did yesterday. Even though I'm remote here, I did do some research, as you can tell by what I'm doing right now, by this dry material I'm doing. Going back in Wendy's resume in 1996 and 97, she was president and CEO of the Fannie Mae Foundation.
Mm.
And her role? To promote home ownership.
Mm.
And we see how that's gone, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Home ownership dreams being dashed through silly Fannie Mae mortgages and so on. So, but Obama is saying that he's going to have, quote, sustained, direct, and aggressive diplomacy. That's almost human. He may as well just, can you just fill in there human scum diplomacy? And he claimed that North Korea is the, quote, unquote, biggest proliferator. And so,
you know, Greg, I was thinking, I saw a picture of Obama. He looks like a little man. And this picture is on Drudge Report. Maybe they picked the picture to make him look little. He's sitting at a little table. And like, maybe it's his radio broadcast on the weekend. But I was thinking about the people he's appointing to his cabinet, other than the important financial control, Pentagon control through Hillary and Paul Volcker. These are nobodies. It just seems there's no power in his cabinet. And I'm just going to say, oh, this Wendy Sherman sounds like that. But no, now maybe not. These are the people in the down in the bureaucracy of the mortgage subprime crisis. Maybe they are the hidden people, the hidden government that's a becoming figure here.
Maybe. But the other interesting thing that I found was, I think it's interesting, that...
You said Leary thing?
I don't know what I said. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're leery. We're leery of this. Okay.
See, the DPRK wants to scrap their nuclears. That's what they're saying. But they want normalization with the United States, and they want a security guarantee. They don't want to get rid of their weapons, and then that would allow them to be bombed then. And
sounds reasonable to me.
The U.S. think tank, the National... Committee on American Foreign Policy, the NCAFP. It's a nonprofit, and you got to watch out for those nonprofit organization. It's dispatching former defense. It wants to dispatch former Defense Secretary Henry Kissinger and Admiral William Perry, former Defense Secretary under Clinton, off to deal with North Korea, to do a deal with North Korea. And you know, when Kissinger's off on a plan, you know, bombing can't be far behind.
Yeah, he's a trigger man. As McLuhan said in the New York Times editorial on September 11th or 12th, 1974, calls him kiss of death. That's what McLuhan said. Kissinger's the kiss of death.
He was ahead of things. I'm reading that book, media book.
Oh, Understanding Media.
I'm reading it. I'm trying to get through it. I'm at page 28.
Is it boring?
No, it's very interesting.
Okay, good. Remember, it's a cartoon. He said he wrote cartoons, Greg. It's a cartoon, what you're reading.
Yeah.
He did say that. I write cartoons.
I'm enjoying it.
Good.
So this NCAFP, this nonprofit group, think tank group, is saying send Kissinger and William Perry off to deal with North Korea and the DPRK, and to give them fast-track authority to get things done. Now, William Perry, you may not remember this, but in 1994, and I was traveling over to the Korean Peninsula at that time on business during this whole period. It was the 1994 nuclear standoff with the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, as it's been described. And William Perry was involved in that, and we'll talk about him in a moment. We'll get back to him because he's starting to figure large as all these Clinton people are coming back into prominence because of Barack Obama. But I have to speak about Jang Song Fake, and he's a 62-year-old man from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea who has been put in charge, evidently, according to a newspaper article that I saw online. He's been put in charge. He was the former head of internal security, and he's the brother-in-law of Kim Jong-il. And now, I don't know whether this is a kudo to him, but he's evidently the most villainous follower of Kim. And he says that he cannot trade ideology for survival. So he's an ideologue, and evidently what he's been doing, and I applaud this, actually. He's they don't seem to be applauding it, but I do. He's been stifling commerce with China. He feels that this is he has to keep doctrinal purity because these Chinese want to start creating a market in market economy in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And we can see how failed that system is, everyone, can't we? It's failed. It's got us big screen televisions, but it's got everybody into horrible debt. All of the people of the world, all the people of the land is in horrible debt. It's forbidden. It's forbidden buyers to sell goods in a private market. He's just clamped right down on this. And he's restricting travel. And evidently there was a wave of executions in the troubled northern provinces, you see, near China, because of this terrible influence of the market up there that these people are under. And this is what they described, that he sniffed out, quote, backsliding, corruption, and dissent. Now, and he's executed people. Now, imagine if these Bernie Madoffs and all these people that are involved in backsliding. And corruption. Think about the world that you live in now, everyone. Just ponder that for a moment. Think about, I'm thinking about that too. I'm thinking
about the backsliding Dave Coopers.
About the people that I know, all right, that are involved in backsliding and corruption. Okay, let's just think about that for a second, and let's pause for a moment.
Yeah, they show up at board meetings.
Yes, let's pause for a moment. Pause for a moment, Bob. All right. Now, just think about them. Now, imagine them being executed.
Did you do that so Dan, you could dump it?
No.
Okay.
Just imagine them being executed, all right, for their crimes. These people who are disrupting our lives, who are stealing and so on. People in our society, they get away with this. Oh, but not in the DPRK. No.
Yeah,
no.
So they're Stalinists. That's a Stalinist action?
I don't know. It's certainly Juche socialism, we can say that. So Jang Song-fake is his name. He is going in, and President Kim evidently is he's doing field inspections of libraries and kitchens. But because he is this let me just tell you what I think. If I had to guess why President Kim takes the views that he does and why he takes the assignments that he does, President Kim wants to feel good about the DPRK and the good people in that land. He wants to see them in libraries looking up things and providing a little country kitchen where there's soup being made, and he likes his father liked to go to toothbrush manufacturers to make sure the good quality toothbrush is being made because he's very interested in oral hygiene. But someone has to go and stop the backsliding and see actually the people who are doing the corruption and dealing with them in a firm way. And fair way, I have to say, but firm. If they're doing these things and they're obviously told through their ideological purity that you just don't, you should not be doing corrupt acts. You shouldn't be stealing and moving goods to yourself and hoarding things and so on. They have to be dealt with very severely, and evidently that's the terrible job the 62-year-old has to go and do for the dear leader, while the dear leader does field inspections.
He's a media ecologist. When you read that McLuhan, you'll see that he said, turn off the environment.
And here's something to look forward to, everyone, and I want you to remember this. Now, I don't know this is going to happen.
You're reading a Stalinist document, understanding media.
I don't know this is going to happen, but this could be fun, all right, for all of you people who really appreciate what's going on in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Evidently, we're going to see some show trials, all right? Now, there's nothing better than a show trial.
On high-definition TV, ooh.
I hope we do get that. I hope they do have that technology there to see that. But there's there's rumor of an impending show trial of South Korean agents that were sent to the north to kill the dear leader. So this could be fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing the show trial if it does happen. Now, it's just a rumor right now, but it seems like this Jang Song-fake is in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. He's quoting the horrible lapdog media of the West, he's evidently more the most villainous follower of Kim. But he's going and he's clearing up corruption. How could you not appreciate someone doing that good work? Only the Western world would, this corrupt world with Madoffs and all of these people who are trying to claw with their claws, they're trying to get sort of claw this stuff to them. They're trying to claw all this, the riches towards them to the exclusion of others.
Yeah, well, you get that kind of scenario on TV shows every night, apparently. He used to, anyways, 20, 30 years ago. But it's not done in the actual legal courts of the United States. Everybody gets off.
Yeah, and everybody just they get a little slap on the wrist, and they're done.
And everybody watches what should have happened on TV, shows.
And we have to, and we're stuck with the debt.
Yeah, they're not going to get out of this debt. America's been cut off. You realize Americans, North Americans, you're going into poverty. It's going to be worse in the 30s. What do you think of that? Are you going to get mad? They did a poll of people who lost their money from Madoff, and they're angry. They're angry.
No,
that's all they are, though. They're just angry.
They're angry, and nobody seems to do anything about it. Remember,
no.
Lou Dobbs would be – remember during the Enron scandal, he'd have a list every day of how many people were prosecuted, actually went to jail in the – in the Enron scandal, and it stood at zero for ages.
Yeah,
just no action. So I'm saying this guy Jang Song Fake is a good guy, tough guy.
Yeah,
and he's
tough guy. Fake, but fake. How is that what you're saying? Fake.
He won't trade fake. I think it's THAEK, if I have it spelled properly here. I took today for today's show. I want you to tell. It's sort of a landmark program, actually. Over the last few, I think maybe for the whole history of the program, this show is being done from written notes. I actually went to the library yesterday, the great Greater Victoria Public Library, and I requisitioned my internet time, and I had maybe 2 hours.
But you printed it out, though.
I didn't print it out. I sat there and I wrote it out on scrap paper that I had.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so everything's all written out from little notes.
We should keep you out there. We're getting actual content. No interruptions. Actual literate POB, left hemisphere, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And getting back to William Perry, I'm so desperate to get to material now.
Bill.
Since you've been encouraging me. William Perry, I spoke with him earlier, Admiral William Perry.
You're like Dave Emery. You're like Dave Emery.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
The William Perry, who was involved in this supposed 1994 nuke standoff, this fake thing with Clinton where he made out that Kim Jong-il was such a horrible person and was going to blow up the world, now William Perry says, oh, it isn't, DPRK is no problem. We'll get that worked out. President Obama is going to face a nuclear crisis, of course, with Iran. And William Perry is quite confident about North Korea, but Iran...
That's on the table. That will happen. That's what he's saying. It will happen.
Yeah, it's the new enemy. Iran's a new enemy. Make a deal with President Kim to have a safe reactors. That's what he did before. The Clinton administration made a deal with President Kim to, and I think even some of this was through Kim, his father, Kim Il Sung, but he died when they sent Carter. President Carter went over there to meet with Kim Il Sung, and very shortly after that, the great leader died, and the United States made a deal to have safe reactors, supposedly from good countries like France and so on, to be placed there. But it fell through with Bush. Everything falls through. They make a deal with DPRK, and then it inevitably falls through when they have a change in government. See, that's the good thing about President Kim, is that it'll always be President Kim.
Continuity.
Yeah, it's continuity. You don't have somebody going, oh, it was them. They did it. Those people back there did it. And, you don't always this sort of back-pointing game.
Well, the only continuity I know in North America is that
So it fell further through Bush, and then of course the great DPRK said, "All right, you're gonna welch on your deal. All right, okay, we're making our nuclear bombs." And they went and did it. And now he says, William Perry says that he's against this proliferation, and they seem to point the finger at President Kim proliferating. I don't know.
how President Kim has proliferated any nuclear weaponry outside of the Korean Peninsula. But
Greg, you're very articulate. You know, I talk to you on the phone a lot, and you're actually in phone mode here, like you are privately. I mean, you're pretty articulate on the radio, but I think you're a little extra energy here being on the phone, like you're just talking to everybody.
Yeah, I haven't had to. Well, I lose a bit of energy when I get on my bicycle and I have to ride over there.
Yeah, you're just rolling along here.
Yeah.
It's like when you're talking about, it sounds like when I get the details on the shenanigans at CKLN, you know, all the background and that. That kind of energy is coming out right now.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's good. I hope the audience, any other callers who want to fill in here or say that I'm saying, I think they're just shocked now that I've said such glowing things about President Kim. I think it shocks everybody that I do that.
It is unique. Nobody in anywhere.
Nobody does that. Yes. That's why I do it.
Well, the bad guy who joined the chat line, he bragged about being there, so I said, call him a Zionist dupe, a Bible dupe, a mainstream news dupe, a dupe. He never responded. I think he really couldn't handle listening to you talk about this Korean guy.
Yeah, everybody gets upset about that. So this William Perry, he's against proliferation, but why doesn't anybody think that Israel might proliferate weapons? Why are they never worried about Israel and their nuclear weapons? There are hundreds of nuclear weapons, always focused on Iran, who don't have any at the moment, by all accounts, and President Kim, who has maybe a few, just to protect one of the greatest places in the world that doesn't want to be involved in this market economy nonsense.
Well, the reason you're just going to say you don't understand. McCollum points out that the average daily hardworking journalist in the mainstream news needs simple categories to handle the flood of information that he has to process. So this ridiculous profile of the global scene, global theater with these little black and white issues, is only because of journalism. Overwork needs to keep these handy categories like left, right, and all that. So that's one factor.
Okay, no discussion about Juche socialism, which has as its descendants in Marxist-Leninism, Stalinism. No discussion on this program can avoid a mention of the great Joseph Stalin.
Which I wanted to bring up for several weeks now. Yeah. What is wrong with Trotsky? Give me your view with why is the Trotskyists, who are quite active in New York City and in London and all over the place, why are they wrong? What did Trotsky do wrong? Just because he didn't support Stalin?
That's it. But the other reason is that he was weak. He wanted to somehow. Even though there was a communist government or a Bolshevik government in the Soviet Union, he wanted to use it as a base to start expanding all over the world, to deplete the resources, to sort of mitigate the revolution in Russia and in the Soviet Union, and start to sort of spread it around the world. And,
well, what's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is that he wanted to delay actually enacting proper communism in the Soviet Union. He said, "Oh, we have to collaborate with these capitalists. We have to collaborate with them, sort of infiltrate them, and then spread it around the world." And we can see what happens there. You just get so compromised by involvement with these capitalists.
Well, it's called state capitalism.
That's why this guy, Jang Son-Thaek, the 62-year-old brother-in-law of President Kim, who's going up executing people for being weak and confused and villainous, and although they accuse him of villainy, but he's trying to get rid of corruption, you're invariably going to be consorting with these corrupt people. You're bound to become corrupt yourself. You have to eschew them. You have to...
Yeah, that's the medium as a message. You become part of the environment. It alters you.
Right.
That's what you're saying. But
why Trotsky started wanting to get... He wanted to get distracted, and Stalin said, no, we're going to have a full-on communist government here. We're going to do Marxist-Leninism here in full. We're not going to delay it. We're not going to sort of have it nice and acceptable for the foreign people to see us doing this. We're going for it now. And he was, oh, no, let's go to Mexico. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's delay it here. We can't really enact it unless the whole world is socialist. Then
okay.
we can do it.
Yeah, I got you. Now, I've been reading Ben Watson, who did the great book on Frank Zappa, Negative Dialectics of Poodle Play, and he's an outright Trotskyist. I find very interesting the quotes he makes in his books, a new book called Art, Class, and Cleavage, well, 10 years ago, but it's part two of the Zappa Negative Dialectics book. He says that the Trotsky's view that he has says that that's what Stalin did. What you just accused Trotsky of, that's what Stalin did. He created state capitalism and compromised with the rest of the world and didn't just see it as a global workers unite all over the world thing that Trotsky wanted to do. So it must be an interesting ongoing debate, like in the Catholic Church between St. Peter and St. Paul. They didn't know whether to keep it within themselves, the early Christians, or to spread it. So
Stalin felt that if he started adopting, let's say, Chinese communism,
finish your sentence, but I just want to tell you, Heather's on the phone, but that's coming up. Finish your sentence. Sorry, what'd you say?
He didn't even like dealing with the Chinese communists. He felt, let us just do our little routine here, and you do yours. And that went counter to the propaganda campaigns of the United States, England, the Western countries, saying that it was this global spreading menace.
Mm, okay.
He wasn't interested in that at all.
It was a tough problem. The global media made everybody seem to be, any little war became a global war. All wars are civil wars in the global village, the global theater back then. So it was difficult whether to go global or not. That's an ongoing dilemma. I think Danny is our executive producer is for global movement.
But well, eventually it will be a global movement, of course, but you can't. You have to actually get a firm foothold somewhere. You can't just have this namby-pamby sort of socialism forever. I mean, I think Stalin understood it was going to be a transitional phase. He just wanted to have as short a transitional phase as possible. And of course, that was gotten rid of by when he died, and you had Khrushchev come in, and then you ended up with Gorbachev, who had full compliance with the saying he was a communist all along in true Trotskyist form. They don't even say they're communists.
Right.
They won't even go that far. These union leaders and all these people, they won't even go that far. They barely can say they're socialists. So it shows compatibility. These union people who are dealing with General Motors and so on. Why are they're it's a the only way they can keep the union going is to have capitalism. They feed off of it. They all want it. It's unsustainable. You have we were talking here around the house about family issues, and certain portion of the family evidently are trying to reallocate their assets so that some of the assets go to the children because the parents are in failing health and some of them with quite a serious debilitating ongoing disease, and I guess the children are worried that we've got all these private property assets, and what will happen if they are kept by the parents, that if they go into a home become debilitated, that it's just going to eat away at the financial resources of the family, and the state will ask them to pay. Then the best way to, if they're going to go into a senior citizen's home or something like that, is just to have all of the assets depleted, and then the state will have to take over and pay for their lodging and so on, and for their ongoing care. And, of course, so you've got the people who have money in the society are trying to reallocate it to their heirs early so that the state has to pick up the costs. And I've got no problem with the state picking up the costs for taking care of any people in the society. But you can see how this private property and then public socialism and so on, it's incompatible.
So you have a Trotskyist-Stalinist debate in the Duffel Clan.
I guess so. I mean, we're not really talking with them much, but it's all scuttlebutt, and it's.
Would you kill them? I mean, Stalin, he killed Trotsky.
No, well, I won't go that. I certainly will not go that way. And we're not sure that that really happened. This Stalin did not kill Trotsky. He evidently there were, according to these revisionist history people, and perhaps it's true that there were agents sent to kill Trotsky and put an ice pick in his head. Well, I don't know. All I know is that Joseph Stalin did not actually kill Trotsky.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Should we go to Heather?
Yeah. We got a caller there? No. So, Olga Lipchinskaya. Have you heard of her? Olga Lipchinskaya?
No.
She's the Bolshoi ballerina. And she died.
When was that? You mean she's a long time ago she was famous?
Oh, my gosh. She was. She died at, how old was she? I'll read this. Olga Lipchinskaya was a leading ballerina of the Bolshoi Ballet in the 1940s and 1950s. Whose bravura and vivacity served her both in the 19th century classics and in uplifting roles as the heroine of Soviet works. A member of the nobility, she was rejected when she first tried to enter the Bolshoi choreographic school. In 1925, she was finally accepted. She graduated in 1933 and joined the Bolshoi Ballet. She was rumored to be the favorite ballerina of the very discerning Soviet, and they call him a dictator here, I refuse to say that, but they say that here. The great leader, Joseph Stalin, and received the coveted Stalin Prize on 4 occasions. You have to be good to get that. Can't be a Trotskyist to get that. You can't be a Trotskyist ballerina and get the Stalin Prize.
Yeah, you said she was a Bolshevik in the beginning, right? And she was not allowed on the team?
No, she tried to enter the Bolshoi choreographic school but she was originally a member of the nobility.
Oh, that's why she was excluded. Okay.
I don't know, but she was rejected. I don't know why she was rejected,
okay.
But she came from nobility, but
very interesting.
But,
Heather is still on the phone but may not be listening in her headpiece.
No, I'm listening.
The latest piece of bulletin.
Okay. What was that bulletin again?
Our executive producer just told me, I think Heather's still on the phone but may not be listening in her headpiece.
Oh, okay.
I am listening.
Oh, okay. You are. Okay. Very good. Your voice sounds better now.
It goes up and down.
Yeah.
So, Greg, you were asking the question about why everybody's so concerned about Iran without any nuclear and nobody says anything about Israel. Well, anybody can go on Google and look at Israel's nuclear blackmail of America and the Israel-Samson option, which is there. And Israel is the security for all American nuclear sites, which means Israel can blow up those sites in America if America doesn't do what Israel wants it to do. So America could easily, and has been thought to be under nuclear blackmail by Israel. The four airports.
Let me say, Heather, that's what Tom Hennigan says. Do you read Tom Hennigan's site?
No, I don't. But don't forget, the four airports in 9/11 were also under Israeli security. So they are the interfacing between security and blowing up things. And this is how they've done this in other countries as well. That's why nobody can touch them. That's why the UN can't touch them now.
That.
Hello?
I'm only going to believe that if I hear it from the Asper-controlled media and they play a clip of Avital Leibovich, the major in the IDF. If she says that and I hear it from Kevin Newman on Global National News, if I hear it there, then I'll believe it. Otherwise, I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because they have done that, made themselves the interfacing with security companies everywhere, here in Toronto, all over the world, so that
we have global security here, global television, global security.
Yeah.
That's the Asper-controlled Zionist media.
That's right.
And everybody just follows along with them.
Well, I don't. But the point is, they could easily have done that, and I think people should understand and have an awareness that they could be blackmailing America, nuclear blackmailing.
Well, there's that theory. A lot of people get very upset when somebody puts forward the possibility that the tail is wagging the dog. A lot of people get upset about that. I don't quite understand why they get so upset unless they feel that it might be true.
Yeah,
and
that is why.
Now,
that is why.
I don't know whether that's true or not.
That is
but
why.
I don't discount it summarily.
as some do.
Well, you
so
just
thank
have
you,
to look
for bringing that forward yet again.
Yeah,
yet again.
We're in the waning moments of the show, but I do. I don't know whether. Lipshinskaya, she died. This is the as Bolshoi's prima ballerina. This talking about Stalin, that how much he liked Lipshinskaya because she won the Stalin Prize on four occasions. She recalled in an interview published in the Daily Russiskaya Gazeta in 2006 that Stalin affectionately called her Dragonfly. As Bolshoi's prima, she danced Khitri in Don Quixote, Tahoe in The Red Poppy, Jeanne in The Flame of Paris, Aurora in Sleeping Beauty, and Masha in The Nutcracker, among other parts. During the Second World War, she participated in the Bolshoi's traveling company, braving those Nazis, and which performed before Red Army soldiers on the front line. So she risked her life to dance for her nation. And she later married a soldier who rose to the rank of Major General. She recalled in a 2006 interview that she broke her leg during the first performance of The Red Poppy in 1953, but managed to complete her part despite four fractures diagnosed later. What a trooper.
Yeah.
Olga Lipshinskaya was born September 28, 1916, in Kiev. She died December 20, 2008, in her sleep at her Moscow apartment. She was 92, and she was Stalin's favorite ballerina, a man of discerning tastes. And a great bank robber, too.
I wonder what she thought of the wall going down and all that stuff.
Horrible. I'd have to think that she was appalled by what's happened to the
country,
the Soviet Union, as I am. What a terrible event that was. But speaking of good events and
bad
events...
Did you know that Dr. Beter predicted that? Oh, yeah, in 1982. The Gorbachev faction made a deal with the German West German government. That was announced. You can go up and look in the archives and see where he said it in 1982. He said the wall will go down as long as West Germany would support the Gorbachev faction against the Stalinists who had taken over the Pentagon.
Eartha Kitt died.
Yes.
And speaking of great women, we just spoke of Olga Lipshinskaya, and Eartha Kitt died, and I loved Eartha Kitt. And most people might remember her, although she did many great things. She was described as slinky and cat-like. She was she's probably best known for a role as the sexy Catwoman, the final Catwoman in the 1960s TV series of Batman. Who the previous Catwomen on that program were Lee Merriweather, who appeared in the movie, and Julie Newmar. The curvaceous Julie Newmar, but the last and final Catwoman in the TV series of the 60s was indeed Eartha Kitt, and she did a remarkable job. I think both Julie Newmar and Eartha Kitt were fantastic in that role, but Eartha Kitt definitely unforgettable.
Yes, and she died a week after the great Odetta.
Really?
Yeah, Odetta was another great black singer.
So
two of them. Went down within a week or two.
And she went
over,
saw an
not
interview.
Down, they went over. They went over.
I saw an interview with Eartha Kitt where she said how grateful she was to be cast in that Batman role, in that TV series, because it just enlivened her whole career at a time that she really, really needed it.
Mm.
And it made her completely unforgettable for from that moment on. So she was... very grateful for being involved in that 1960s TV show.
See how powerful cartoons are? You know, in McClone says cartoons are the content of TV. They're the dominant medium, or at least till recently. When you were growing up, they were the dominant medium. Even though you particularly were eccentric in wanting to be a cartoonist, they were the form, and you had to get in there.
Oh, yeah. I saw it immediately. I thought, this is exciting. And I put in a DVD that I'd sent my mother that she never looked at. I sent her a bunch of old movies and so on that I thought she might like, but she just can't seem to
transcend
the technology. She just can't go on, you know, like turning on buttons and things. She just can't do it. So I put in this cartoon, 1940s cartoon, into the DVD player. It was plugged in through component. These are the separation now of the three...
plugs, the red, green, and blue, I plugged this cartoon in, and it was one of the first Bugs Bunny cartoons. And I was just stunned by how good it looked and how wonderful the animation was. It was like seeing it for the first time.
On the high-definition news.
Yeah, it was just the beauty of the work involved in this 1940s Bugs Bunny cartoon by great animators like Robert McKimson and Virgil Ross and people I've met, I had the fortune to meet, I feel, because no one will ever meet them again in person, and directed by Tex Avery and Bob Clampett, again, people that I had the great fortune to meet and even work with, some of them like Chuck Jones, before they died.
Now, if you looked at the Saturday morning cartoons today on high definition, would you puke?
They're horrible. I have seen them. They look bad. They just look bad. There's no nuance. There's no acting. The way that Bugs Bunny was working with other characters and the way they were reacting to him, it was so evocative, so lively, so real in a way, in this completely surreal world. Even the way that the sound was recorded was remarkable, and just how it seemed like they're really talking. It because on the big screen they had this newspaper. They were showing some event in a newspaper in the cartoon, and I was looking around at all the writing on the newspaper that I could finally see. Mm. And down at the bottom, it almost in the television cutoff, it said, of course, it wasn't important to the story or anything. It was just stuff, gags put in onto the newspaper page, and it said, Adolf Hitler commits suicide, which he did eventually.
Yeah, that would be May 7th, 1945. So that's what the newspaper...
This was made prior to that. So this was a 1943 cartoon.
Oh, they stuck that in
the bottom,
there. They embedded that.
Yes, down at the bottom it says, Adolf Hitler commits suicide.
I see your point.
And it actually did happen. So, and I'd never seen that before, and because I'd never, it was now big and large, like you would see it in a, you know, closer to what you would see it in a movie theater. And the colors were, and I'd seen this cartoon hundreds of times. I'd even seen this disc on a regular television, and the color was fantastic. Really was, I'd want to watch them all over again. In fact, Danny told me that he's been a big proponent of HD. He loves watching HD coming off the air on his computer. He has it all set up.
Well, he likes HD porn.
True, he does like that, but he does watch things like Jeopardy, and he'll watch anything in HD over the air. He's an HD maniac. He just loves watching it. He doesn't care what the show is.
Well, when you said earlier that you would watch Buffalo cartoons, the blurry black and white TV, I was thinking, well, okay, the medium is what you want. But you were looking for the cartoon content. You had to hear the content as a kid. But Daniel's the opposite. He's big in the medium, not the content.
Yeah, maybe I just...
You were into the form of it.
Bob,
yeah, I guess I was.
Bob.
I thought it was aesthetically...
Oh, Bob, Daniel, what are you saying?
Bob, you can't attack me like that when I'm not on the air. No, there is great content on HD, things like CSI... and The National with Peter Mansbridge, which is just an unbelievable program. Hey, do you want to get to a caller?
I was not saying that. Greg was saying it.
Hey, do you want to get to a caller? Here's Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the air.
Hello, Greg and Bob.
Hey, Tom,
and Daniel.
How are you? This is Tom 2.
I understand I've been designated Tom 2 here on in, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Listen, I first of all, my mind is not closed about Korea. I don't pretend to know much about it. But my mind is not closed by U.S. propaganda. As far as Stalin's concerned, I think he wrote the best philosophical piece on historical and dialectical materialism that was ever written. You can go to the web and find that. Trotsky was a betrayal of the Bolshevik Revolution. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about an event that took place this past Thursday at the CKLN board meeting. And you guys should give a report on this. We, the listeners, have a right to hear what happened there.
Well, I wasn't there.
Well, Daniel was.
I'm here on the West Coast. I have heard anecdotal reports about this. But, Tom, be patient. Be patient. I know that we do have a right to hear this, but there are some people that don't feel that people have a right to do things. And they'll take immediate retribution out, possibly, on that. So I would let me consider how to do this. Everything has to be done in a certain way. Everything.
Yes, I can understand that, though. But
I know it's difficult to believe that we can't really be liberated. It's maddening.
Yes, it is.
It's maddening.
It's a Dave Cooper faction.
It's just maddening that we have to be so constrained and that we can't be real. I mean, I'm trying to be about as real as I possibly can be, I think, but we were not liberated. I mean, but isn't that the story of the world? We're trying to be liberated. I leave that to Daniel, whether he dumps stuff. I have no power to do that here now. But
well, yeah, it's okay. I say that.
I don't care. The thing is that this show is really back because under terms. And they're not your terms, not the audience's terms. And, of course, you know, the audience out there, a lot of them think that what goes on this program is appalling. Well, all right, and a lot of people love it. And a lot of people are indifferent about it.
And I think a lot of the stuff goes on the other programs is appalling, the spoken word programs.
Sure. You know, Danny, was it Danny that was telling me something saying one of our listeners who's listened, one of the Daves, gets in touch, and I think he's done this before, saying the show isn't as edgy as it was before. Well, I'm sorry if it's not as edgy. I'm not doing anything deliberate to not to make it edgy, except maybe, you know, the Tom, too, who's calling in now is sort of saying, you know, he's saying be more edgy. Really, that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. I got an email from... My friend.
Whoa, where did that go?
Yeah, I'm hot. I'm here.
I don't know. Yeah, you're still there. Is Tom? I think Tom disappeared.
Yeah. I think that the thing that people don't... That, and I get emails from people.
Okay, hold on. There.
One person who's very,
so
very
do something about it. It's,
impassioned
it's
listener
sad
who says, you're doing too much stuff about the radio station. Get to more content about the world. You know, and so I'm being torn all the time between one influence and another, and I can only do what I think is probably the best thing to do, and that is just to go where my mind goes.
Great. How about this?
Yeah.
All this spoken word stuff is nothing. CKL is about music, and that's why there's apathy. As long as people get the music, the spoken word people, and they all argue about what they represent, the different programs, they're ridiculous.
Okay, quiet,
the spoken
quiet.
Word issues on or content of CKL is irrelevant in terms of the politics, and the management takes advantage of that.
Bob?
They take advantage that nobody really can handle.
Bob?
Or that the spoken word, how do I say this? The management knows the music makes it. They don't care what the spoken word people think they represent.
Okay, Bob, we have to go to ads.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.
Have a service or product you want the public to know about?
Then advertise with CKLN 88.1 FM. Call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
Our diverse multicultural music and spoken word programming is streamed and broadcast 24/7 to the GTA and is heard throughout Southern Ontario on Rogers 947.
We can be heard on the web at www.ckln.fm.
Contact our sales office weekday Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Or drop in at 55 Gould Street at Church, second floor in the Ryerson Student Campus Center.
To advertise your product or service with CKLN, email advertising@ckln.fm.
Or call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
CKLN, celebrating 25 years of independent radio.
Okay, you're back.
Okay, I want to say something about what Tom was phoning in about earlier.
Actually, pause for a second,
yeah,
Greg. Tom is still...
Wait a minute, hold it, Greg.
Hold it, Greg. Tom is still there. Tom, do you want to just finish off anything?
I'd like to hear what Greg has to say. But are you going to be cutting me off now?
No.
No,
you're... Okay, so go ahead, Greg.
I think I can put this in a form that is acceptable here in our unliberated way. But I think it'll provide some... closure to this discussion at the moment, and that is that, yes, CKLN is your radio station because you're listening. And you could be listening from anywhere in the world, and not many of you probably are. Most of you are listening in the Toronto region. And for those of you that are members of the organization, and there's a certain, I'm not sure how you become a member anymore, frankly. You'd have to phone the station up to find out. But for those of you like Tom, who's on our line right now, who's a member of the station, who paid $50 at least during the fundraising campaign and thus became a member, as you're allowed to be a community member of our organization according to our bylaws, you have a right to go to the meetings, the board meetings. Now, the problem about going to the board meetings is finding out when they happen. And for those of you that are interested out there and or might be interested in the future, send an email to internationalconnection@rogers.com. And put in your email somewhere that you're interested in being notified of board meetings. Now, that might sound really boring to hear what goes on at a board meeting, but let me tell you that the board, as in most corporations, and CKLN is a corporation, the board runs the radio station. They hire the people who are in the management, and the people they hire are the people who decide who gets on the air. And so it's important for you, possibly, if you're interested in these inner workings, which some of you may not be, but the thing is that you're seeing how – you'll come down and see how the place is being run and make decisions for yourself about how they're being run. You're not going to hear them maybe – you know, we can go on and give our impressions of what's going on, but really what's going to matter is if you come down and get involved in it to see how it's being run, and you'll understand –
You'll be shocked first. You'll be shocked.
Yeah, you'll probably be shocked at seeing how the realities of it. But the thing is that the more people that come and be involved, and there are more people being involved, not that many, but there are, who come down to these meetings, because you can't attend a meeting you don't know about, that you have no way of knowing about. I can help in that regard. You send an email to internationalconnection@rogers.com, and we'll put you on a list. And when I find out that there's a board meeting, because I'm pretty diligent about finding out when they happen, and I'll send a notice out to you, and I'll tell you about it, and you can come down and view it.
And it's just two more people show up that they don't expect. They have a riot like the other day.
Well, I don't know, but the thing is that you can see how it operates, and I think it'd be very instructive for some of you. And Tom is very interested in this now. I think in the past he might not have even thought about it.
Well, he's retired now. He can go in there.
He understands. He understands because he's more educated about how the operation runs.
Yeah, but Greg, he doesn't understand that the ideals that he thinks CKLN represents, which come through the spoken word programs, are not followed. And if you realize that, the spoken word issues aren't what CKLN's about. The ideals that CKLN's supposed to represent, that you say verbally, are not what's happening, and it's really music.
It might be surprising to you that some people who go on and say certain things about peace and love and all of that maybe don't actually promote that in their real lives. This is I can be the same way. You could meet me and go, gosh, this guy is a real cad. I mean, some of you already think that. And,
the word
and that's fine.
Class.
You can think what you want. But a lot of people think that because there are these quote-unquote progressive views being
said in the spoken word programming, which is minor.
It represents. Did you hear the disclaimer that goes on in the show? The views represented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of CKLN Radio Incorporated.
And Stalin's part of the left, and this is supposedly a left station. So.
Yeah, supposedly, but listen to that. That's a very important statement that's being made there. It's not necessarily representing the views. And this corporation has a right to say that, and I don't think that I do represent CKLN. I've never said that. I've never thought that. I'm putting forward these views. They're mine. I hope you understand that. And when our callers phone in, I hope you understand that they're representing their own views. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's almost a sense that that's wrong, that you have to warn people about it. I mean, I think it's understood by almost any person of a reasonable, who has reasonable faculties about them, that that's what's going on. I don't know why you have to tell people, but I guess, I don't know, I guess you do. You see it all the time on CTV and the CBC and saying, you know, you're warning people about what's going to happen.
What's Tom say?
Well, what I can see from somebody from the outside is a kind of a class struggle taking place. The same kind of class struggle took place with Pacifica Radio in America, and the same kind of class struggle that took place in my own Teamsters Union that I fought, the corruption I fought against.
Yeah, it's like the real world. That's what you're saying. What's going on?
Life.
What goes on? These struggles between different people for power. We're talking about the struggle for power, Tom. And then that becomes the class struggle, because you create classes by people assuming levels of power over other people.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's
but sometimes it can be good power. I mean, sometimes you have to assert yourself and get into a leadership or in a vanguard position to get things done. And obviously the people. I mean, Hitler thought he was he was doing good things for the world. Do you think he thought I'm being a real horrible person here? I mean, I'm sure he had moments where he thought, Jim, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the thing is, these people who are absolutely horrible individuals in the world, they must think they're doing a good thing.
Well, anyway, I think it's... I'm not going to avoid the struggle because I think it's good that we can struggle. And yes, let's struggle. That's how we grow. We grow through struggle. And if the reactionaries within CKLN's board wants to take us on, let them take us on, and we'll fight them.
Well, what you're saying is that there's more to this
trucking.
To broadcasting than just the actual broadcasting itself. And if you want, if people are interested, get in touch with International Connection at Rogers.com. If you even think you might have a vague interest in seeing, or just for your own prurient interest, get in touch with me and I'll keep you informed. What is it? It's another email, right? I don't care whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me or agree with anything that goes on or whatever your viewpoints are. It'd be interesting for you to get involved. And for me to go on about it and give play-by-play discussions about things and people that they don't even care about as in radio broadcasting, if they're listening out there and they're interested, they can get in touch with me by mail, by email, and so on. They can do that. It's possible for them to do that. So I think maybe it's best to leave it at that. Leave it for people to show their interest. If we go on, there'll be plenty of time to discuss in historical context, what's going on. To discuss the play-by-play of it, I'm not sure that it really interests most people. Oh, I hear the music.
I guess Rebecca's showing up.
That'll have to be the last word. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I appreciate you joining us for whatever period of time you joined us for this morning. I'll be back next week, I hope. I'm now in Victoria, British Columbia. Daniel is there, and thank you, Daniel Becheret, for going in and facilitating this program and chiming in when it was absolutely necessary, and I appreciate that. And I would have, and if you can chime in any time, of course, I always appreciate your involvement with the program in any way, and you're always involved as the executive producer of the program, so thank you. And Bob, thank you for being here, and all the callers, everyone, all of you, everyone, I appreciate your involvement, and we'll see you in next week, or be with you, or discarnately, whatever, right, Bob? I don't know.
Yeah, read the cartoon chapter in Understand Media, you might find that interesting.
Yeah. Let's listen to this for a bit. Adios, muchacho, compañero de mi vida. Yeah, you're my muchacho. This song sums us all up, really. We were sad to see you go for a week, but we hope to see you again. Adios, muchacho,
ya me voy y me resigno. Who selected that show? That sound.
Actually, this song was selected by the people who do the Spanish show. I heard it one week when I wasn't doing the show, and I thought, that's a good song. That's a good song to end the program with.
And they weren't ending their program.
Yeah, they weren't ending their program, but we are right now. Thanks very much and goodbye.